Some people are elderly. It's easier for them to be closer to the front, to the door of the masjid. That parking lot is reserved for them. And it's actually your service to the community to not park in that parking lot. So in your minds, you should actually eliminate the concept of the parking lot, and you should look for parking someplace on the street. When you do so, inshallah, you'll relieve the congestion in the parking lot, you'll make it easier for the elderly, and you also make it easier for the people on the periphery. What do I mean? Look, you're going to come to the masjid no matter what, right? Because you're committed to the masjid, you regularly come to the masjid, there's a love for the masjid within your heart. There are some people who I call are on the periphery. They show up once in a while. Now what happens? They come to the masjid that one time for the month, and then their car is blocked, so they have an excuse. So they start cursing the masjid, they start cursing the jamaat, they start cursing the Muslims, right? Because we blocked them. So now you push them away, they're never going to come back to the masjid. For 1 month, 2 months, they're not going to come because they're going to make an excuse in their own mind. They're going to say, I came to the masjid that day, I ended up getting 45 minutes delayed because of that. So when they got home, then their family was upset with them because they came to home from the masjid an hour and a half late, right? And so that just ends up creating a problem for the whole congregation. So now one, you messed up the congregation. Two, we messed up our ability to gain the rewards of walking, right? Increased walking. And three, we pushed out the people of the periphery. So all of these create enormous problems for the community, and we should be wary. We should be extremely wary about parking in the parking lot. And I'll tell you, even if you come early and you find a spot, leave it. Leave it for the person who needs it. Instead, just drive your car around and all the street is full of space. All of the street is full of space. It's very easy to park there. Alright? So that's the first important etiquette. Now, also within this category of coming to the masjid is the etiquette of approaching the masjid. Now, see this over here? This is the masjid, right? Next door there's a parking lot. It's very convenient to drive through that parking lot. But that parking lot is not our property. Nor is it public property. We have no right to drive across that parking lot as if we own it. What right do we have to cross through that parking lot which is owned by somebody else to get to the masjid when there is another public way to come? So one of the mistakes that we often make is we drive through the parking lot of that next door business. That's not permissible. That is not public property. That is somebody else's property. You trespass on their property without the intention that they have laid out for the use of that property, which is for the individuals who park in order to eat there. So there's no need to go through there. We should never drive through that parking lot. It's against the adab of coming. You're actually harming yourself by doing so. So we should be very, very careful about that parking lot. Now, beyond that, the other mistake that we make is that if we come here and we see that the parking lot is full, and then we have half the sense to recognize that we shouldn't block three other people, then the next step that Shaitan tries to deceive us through is that we end up parking either in the Walgreens parking lot, or we end up parking in the next door parking lot, or we park in the automotive shop parking lot, or if worse comes to worse, which is just horrible, we just block the alley completely. Okay? All of those are impermissible. The Walgreens parking lot is owned by Walgreens. They have a purpose for that parking lot. It's illegal to park there. Even if you get lucky and you don't get towed, you actually lost because on the Day of Judgment you'll be towed. Right? It would have been much better to be towed here. So we have to be very careful about where we put our cars. We cannot just randomly park wherever we want. Who are we, the king? The salah is not going to happen until we're in the masjid. It's actually pride that results in this type of thing. Thinking that my salah is so important that I can block the alley and there can be an emergency, someone can have a heart attack, the ambulance needs to go through the alley, and they're not going to be able to get through because my car was blocking. Right? Then, on the Day of Judgment, when that individual might have been able to be saved had he been in the hospital 20 minutes earlier, but I blocked him, I'm going to be responsible. That's how the Salik thinks. That's how the individual who recognizes the power and the accountability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's how they think, that's how they begin to recognize that they will be accounted for every time they mispark or drive through the lot of some other business without the expressed intent of visiting that business. Okay? So that's very important other to keep in mind as well. Now, once you come into the masjid, then there are certain other categories of adab. Okay? The first one actually ties into something that I mentioned earlier. And that is that the washroom to prepare ourselves is present within, it's not within the masjid, but it's outside of the masjid. Okay? Now, what I mean by outside of the masjid is technically you don't have a washroom in the masjid, right? Nobody's using the washroom in the masjid. So the masjid is bound, we have defined boundaries of the masjid. And those boundaries actually are very important to keep in mind. So the masjid boundaries in this building are this room, the room in the back, and the other room in the back where the sisters normally pray. The cafeteria is not included. The outside hallway there is not included. The staircase is not included. Okay? Anyway, the bathroom here is provided for emergency situations. Okay? What that means is, look, in the hadith, we're clearly being told that an individual should come to the masjid in a state of wudu. The rewards that the Prophet ﷺ attached for the individual walking to the masjid, those rewards are attached to a person who makes wudu in their home. It's clear in hadith. So actually what should be happening is we use the washroom, we make wudu, and we come prepared to the masjid. We don't come to the masjid to use the washroom. Alright? Now that's important for a couple of reasons. Number one,